Take your Bible and turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We left off on the last broadcast with verse 6. I think for the sake of review and more or less take a running start into the new material, let's begin with verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Now, as we have been looking at this passage, keep in mind that all that he has to say about this charity, he has introduced with the verse 31, covet earnestly the best gift, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. The word that is translated here in the King James as charity comes from the Greek word agape. This love, for that is what the word means, this love has no human counterpart. It has its source in God, not in man. It cannot arise from human emotion. It cannot be grown from some other form of love. It is not transformed or transmuted from, let's say, filial affection or sibling love. It can't come from any other source. It must come from God, and as such is given from God. Now, if you would like to pursue that, you might want to consider spending some time in 1 John. But for now, let's continue here in 1 Corinthians. As love suffers long, is kind, envies not, is not jealous, isn't puffed up, and doesn't misbehave in any raucous fashion, no rash fashion, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but does rejoice in the truth, verse 7, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Now, you may think that verse 4, charity suffereth long, and verse 7, beareth all things, and at the conclusion of verse 7, endureth all things, that he said the same thing three different ways, and that would be incorrect. Charity suffereth long, yeah, that is, I suppose you could use the word patient, but when you get to verse 7, beareth all things, this word, I'm not exactly sure why it was translated this way, but it comes from a Greek word that means to cover up all things, covers all things. What does agape love? Covers everything, believeth all things. Now remember, the word, the verb that ends in eth is present progressive. If you would rather use the term present perfect, have at it. But the idea behind the whole thing is, once action begins, it continues. The action is habitual. It's something that you expect all the time. So when it says charity suffereth long, the ETH means continually suffers long. Envieth not. That is, it habitually is not envying. And so we go. He says here that love continually covers all things. Continually or habitually believes all things. Now, this does not mean that love or agape love is naive or foolish, but rather we're talking here about the matter of faith and trusting God. Anything that has to do with God, this love is right there. Hopeth all things. The word hope, you'll remember, comes from a Greek word that means to expect. An expectation. ETH, giving it a progressive sense, is continually or habitually expecting all things. is habitually enduring all things. This love is extremely tough. It is not brittle. It has no end. Its beginning is God, and if you want an end for this love, I suppose you'd have to say it ends with God. It begins with Him and ends with Him. Now, that being the case, you see how much more excellent, how much more superior this love is than anything known to man. When it says God is love, here we go, same word. Charity never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. It is interesting, when you look at the expression here, prophecies, they shall fail, shall fail, shall vanish away at the end of verse 8. And if we look at verse 10, at the conclusion of verse 10, that which is in part shall be done away. Three phrases here, shall fail, shall vanish away, shall be done away. All of them come from the Greek, the same Greek construction, and it means will be abolished. Now, I think this is something you need to pay attention to, especially in light of the charismatic gifts. You will notice, please, that they were temporary from the very get-go, and there was a reason for that. There was no canon of Scripture other than the Old Testament available to the church. And as it was being written, as it was being given by revelation, by inspiration, to Paul and to John and Luke and various ones, Peter, in the New Testament, as that is being done, and as it takes the time for the word, for the Scripture to be disseminated throughout all the congregations, until that happens, then the gifts were in force. And they were, what shall I say, they were working. However, when the canon was closed and when the church had it, these sign gifts disappeared. You will notice that it says here that whether there be prophecies or wherever there be prophecies, they will be abolished. That is the Greek meaning. They will be abolished. It doesn't mean they're just going to wear out. Rather, it's like somebody flips the switch, dink, and it's gone. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. They shall cease. In and of themselves, they stop. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now let's talk a minute about this matter of the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. The idea of the knowledge and the idea of the wisdom, knowing what to do, discerning right from wrong, the idea of looking at a situation and seeing it for what it is, this divinely appointed ability that was given to the churches and individuals in those churches, when the Scripture was given, when the canon was completed, now we know, everyone can know what to do, how to respond. What do you do when there is false teaching abroad? What do you do when somebody offends against you? With the coming of the Scripture, there was no more need then for these specific charismatic gifts. Now, it says here, whether there be prophecies, and they shall fail. Or whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now keep in mind, prophecy shall fail, will be abolished. The same with knowledge, will be abolished. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And again, here is this expression, done away, will be abolished. That which is partial shall be abolished. Now, there are those who, when confronted with this passage, will say, well, that means the gifts will be here until Jesus comes again, because only He is perfect. Well, that sounds good, except it doesn't hold up grammatically. The scripture does not support that, that he is the perfect thing of which is being spoken here. When that which is perfect, now the word perfect comes from the Greek word verb form, teleo, which means to complete or bring to completion. That verb in its various forms is found throughout Scripture. On the cross, when Jesus cried out, "It is finished," that's the way it is in the English. In the Greek, it was a form of this verb, to telestai. It's over. The victory is won. The battle's over, and we've won the victory. But here, when that which is perfect is come, when that which has been completed is come. Now, if you take that from the Greek and you apply that to the Lord Jesus Christ, that implies that in his absence he is incomplete, that he in his absence is working on finishing up whatever he was incomplete in. Now, you've got to be very careful. I've heard some things that, quite frankly, I am absolutely amazed that would ever proceed out of the mouth of anybody that claimed to be a Christian. And yet on some of these religious cable programs and these religious networks you get off the satellite, you hear these self-proclaimed teachers, though quite frankly, I think the word teacher ought to be spelled F-O-O-L. Be that as it may, you hear them saying things that imply that Jesus Christ was not the perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb of God, that there were areas of weakness about him, etc. My friend, when that which is perfect or completed is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Now, if you go back, what are we talking about, that which is in part? You remember the questions that were asked back in verse 29 and verse 30. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? Negative. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? They did not. Do all interpret? No, they did not. Some did, some didn't. Part did, part didn't. Now, we come back to verse 10. That which is in part shall be done away. Why? Because with the completion of the canon of Scripture, now everybody had access to the same knowledge. Everybody had a clear view of what God's Word said, what was to be done, how it was to be applied to their lives. There it was. There was, you see, no longer any need for these gifts that were enjoyed by a part or were used by a part of the congregation. Everyone now had the revealed Word and will of God. But that which is, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, now this word child comes from a Greek word that means infant. When I was an infant, I spake as an infant. I spoke baby talk. I understood as an infant. Well, what did that amount to? I'm hungry, I'm dirty, I'm sleepy, I want up. That's about the limit of an infant. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child. I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Time is gone. We will come back to this on the next broadcast. We'll see you then.